Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, September 25th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello everybody, glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this program, ICMH also has several other educational programs, such as metaphysicsinstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in many fields. Now, as always, before we get started, we're going to go over our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives the death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And I always love going through the principles of belief at the outset. It's a great way to get the program started because it touches on so many different things that we talk about. And tonight's topic is focused around time and how time shapes our reality. And Dr. Hunter, I think you wanted to get us going on that.
Sure, I can absolutely do that.
I felt like throwing you on the spot.
Well, you know, it really does shape reality in the manner of how we're perceiving ourselves in life, whether that's by age or by what we do in a day, you know, and how time seems to move. But it's, I think it's, again, it's the perception. You know, if you're bored, you're really bored and you can watch a clock and it just tick, 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 and it just seems forever. But you get really busy doing things and you say, oh my God, is it like 4:30 already? You know, and it just kind of warps. So there's, I think, a lot to do with how we frame our days and our life by how we're busy.
Right.
Because then it tends to, it's a warp, really. It doesn't mean that time has changed. It's our perception of that. And, of course, that, and what do we think is real? We'll get into that in a second because that's rather existential.
Well, but I mean, all I know is that I'm real. I don't know about anybody else, but that's a different topic. You know,
funny.
you're absolutely right when you're talking about, in it, you know, a common phrase, time flies when you're having fun. Time also flies when you're incredibly anxious, when you're, well, there's a lot going on. Time flies when you don't have time to think about time.
Mm.
And that's, I think, a lot of it. The fact that your mind is so occupied, you don't have the spare time to contemplate the passage of it or to think about it. And so it doesn't enter your consciousness because what we don't think about isn't really part of our conscious mind.
It doesn't mean it's not happening.
Exactly.
It's a perception. So I think the other thing, too, is really about age. The perception of reality when you're young is, we can say, invincibility. You have lots of time. You want to get this done really fast, and you're anxious about getting on with life at the same time. And I use that word time, is that you feel like you have lots of time. You see, when you get older, and as the decades, you get old enough to start looking back in decades, there's a point where you start to say, oh, there is a clock on life. You know, everything has this cycle and rotation, which to me, about three or four things come to my mind about that is, when I remember when my children were little, in that moment of memory, it's like it's happening now. I don't necessarily feel memory works that way when you're 20. You know, you have a memory of when you were 9 or 10, what you were doing. It doesn't, it's like a memory that you're a little bit disconnected from. But as you get older, it's like it's right there and you can almost touch it. And yet, the being here now is that adjustment of time where you're lining up more with your body. You know, there's all these layers of adjustments to time because we feel that at a cellular level. And then you do start looking ahead to say, whoa, you know, there's how much time do I have? You know, so yeah. It's what can I do in that amount of time or what would I like to do? So there's all these kinds of warps and how we are, I think, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically aligned with experience in the here now. You know, animals, and I know we don't see Dr. Andy in the chat yet, but
actually she just joined.
She just joined, so she can relate to this. Hi, Dr. Angie. Animals, in the animal kingdom, everything is in a here now. And it's in this moment. And that's not to say animals don't struggle with some trauma, but they're learned behaviors that generally in the moment, there's a willingness to be in that moment. Mm-hmm. Humans tend to carry the past with them. So my analogy of that, you know, comparative is that we are the carrying memory that we don't necessarily deal with, if that makes sense,
yeah.
In a way, psychologically. So it's behaviors at times when we act like an 8-year-old, for instance. But more importantly, I think, you know, I tried to be as at home as much as I could for my kids when they were growing up, but I still wasn't emotionally available all the time. Any parent can appreciate that. I could be sitting coloring with them playing games, but I'm still thinking of the doctor appointment tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still thinking about, oh, I forgot to pick up a loaf of bread. So your mind is somewhere else. You're not always exactly present. And so now when I have these memories of my children when they're young, I'm not always present, but I've learned to be present as a grandparent. So that's then that different reality, you know, and how that works.
And learning from the past to help shape the future.
Yeah, sure. But and generally that's through memory. But I don't necessarily think that applies entirely with a lot of the animal kingdom as I know it to be.
You know, I think there are certain species of animal that would, if we truly knew their level of awareness, it would probably surprise us. The orca whale, which is actually a species of dolphin, and dolphins themselves, and different great apes, I think they are all have a level of awareness that is approaching, if not already at, self-awareness on a what we would probably consider a primitive level, certainly to us, but nonetheless something real in and of itself, because it's about the ability to exist in a time that is not the present. Your ability to think in the abstract, to exist either in the future or to reflect on the past. And you can see through behaviors, certain animals plan and strategize and they think in their way about the future, and they understand what is in the future to a degree. They have that expectation, just like we do, of past, you know, past results indicating future behaviors and such.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I just don't know. I think there's expectations, like if I push this button, I'll get a candy kind of thing, of conditioning that's there. But the consciousness to choose a future, I'm not sure, except where it is action and reward.
Well,
I'm not sure. I don't know, Michael. I'm just saying.
I think based on my perceptions, my perspective, and what I've seen, I think, or maybe it's just human beings do have a tendency to humanize other things. It's anthropomorphic.
Well, I think we have to remember animals don't think in English.
Well, no, but neither.
It's all sensory.
Neither do humans, ultimately. We think in the abstract and emotion, and then we try to label it with what is really a primitive language. You know, so many things exist that are incredibly hard to define with language, because language means different things to different people. But I could go on that for a tangent, but of course tonight we're talking.
I think we still think in a language as opposed to being more experiential, and I think this is where we get a warp of time, if you will, or how we perceive time to be. Yeah. And when we have to, like if we're feeling something and experiencing it, then we're warping time for a second to try to articulate it in a language, and then we have to find the delivery. So there's that, even that warp of the experience, rather than just being and experiencing, we're processing through all these layers of our psyches and our bodies, even to be able to speak.
Yes.
So that's even a different measure of time.
Well, thinking about language just made me think, which, you know, we're going to have an entirely different program on this subject alone of awareness, levels of awareness, animals, etc. But it made me think the fact that certain whales, orca specifically, and dolphin and such, they actually have literal language in different regions of the world. And wouldn't you think then that they themselves think in that rudimentary language? Do they not then? Is that not itself evidence of a higher level awareness? But that is the discussion we'll have at a different time. But getting back to what you had mentioned about time and perceptions, one thing that is, you're always going to hear it, at least I always have, everybody says time keeps going faster and faster and faster.
Mm.
And that's been something that, you know, the years go by faster than the last one did. The following year is going to go by faster than the last one did. And I remember, you know, of course, as a child, a week was an enormous amount of time because we didn't have much to relate to.
Yeah.
And I think that's either the fabric of reality is shifting and time is literally going faster, or we have this shared experience that because we have more years under our belt, we have more to compare this year to. It's, you know, 1 year is less significant compared to 30 than 1 year is to 5 or to 10. And so on and so forth upwards.
You brought up a very good point. I mean, I distinctly remember being a teenager and counting down the days and hours before the Saturday night dance. I mean, it could never get here fast enough. And I think, though, reality is smaller, therefore time goes slower. And I think when we're older, reality is larger, and it goes faster. That's kind of a picture, if you will, that I see it as. So when your reality is small, time has its own measure.
And I think as we continuously go into the modern era, we also have a lot more distractions on a constant basis than we did in the past. Every year brings new iPhones, new devices, new distractions. Sure. At least they do for me. So I know that it's a balancing act of distractions and staying focused on the tasks at hand.
Well, and then there's biology. Biology has its own time that affects our emotional well-being, intellectual well-being. That, for instance, if you're in the procreating years, you know, it's like that biological clock. And how much time do you have to reproduce? How much time do you, you know, I talk and deal with a lot of people who, and even women in their 30s, you know, especially where, yes, I really want a family, you know, and I'm running out of time. And so there's these measures that are actual. It's not a fabrication or something just in their minds. It's truly a biological window, if you will, of, you know, how you want to do or how you, when you're able to do that. And then there are shifts in the body that makes you perceive the world differently because you're perceiving yourself differently. Right. And like menopause, your whole system shifts and it requires a review of what's a priority, where you put your attention, how things happen, and that changes your perception of time. So again, keeping it, you know, it in context of time in our realities is, you know, what are we going through and how are we measuring time? And then again, we can go into what are you doing with that time, the measures of procrastination, are you using your time well? You know, what does your reality allow you to do to make that time, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it can be time can be a burden in the sense that are you using your time wisely can become a something that, you know, it's something that gives you a cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
Because you don't know, you have this split between what you think you should be doing and who you think you should be. And what you are doing and what you are at the moment. And there's always a balance between all of these things. But I was just thinking about the fact that it's, oh, how do I want to phrase this exactly?
I know that articulation, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a matter of time.
Well, if I had more time and more wisdom, then I'd be able to articulate better.
No.
But it's really just about the best. What are we going to do with our time? And, you know, the fact is the time is a resource is what I was going to try to say. You had talked about the biological clock ticking and all of those things.
Yeah.
But time is always a resource in every aspect of life. It's a currency just like anything else. And every moment of your life, you're making a decision with how you are living your life. You are choosing the life that you are living in that moment. And you're using the time to buy that experience, essentially, because it's a finite thing and makes it incredibly valuable. And the fact, a finite to this world, to this experience, to this reality. But, and the last thing I was going to say on that aspect is it is the transient nature of time, the fact that everything is continuously moving, that gives everything an incredibly unique value because each and every moment is one and only and it will never come again.
Mm-hmm.
At least not for trillions and trillions of years until life repeats itself. But that's another broadcast itself.
So with you there. Thanks for joining us, Sally. She says it's after 2 in the morning in England and she's been up with a teething baby. She's glad to be here. And we're glad to have you. You know, I'm just going to address that, if I may, Michael, because when you have challenges such as a teething baby or feeding times and children, they're demanding, man, you think that this is never going to end. Like you really do. You say, oh my, when can they feed themselves? And you'll always hear older people say, enjoy it. And you say, yeah, right. Well, because there's two things that warp time in that is, one, you're very tired. So that's, that will have all those effects. But the other is that you have so many other things to do. If you mm-hmm. only had that one thing to do, then there could be more time to manage time that you could do that. But most people are working parents. Most people have other things going on. So your mind is in so many different places and you just feel that, it's just never going to end. there's the other thing about time that I would like to address, because I know we're going really fast in this program tonight, Michael, is at one level of existence, there is no time. And this is where I think in a universal energy, of course, we do know there's the earth rotates, we live in a universe, everything goes by cycles. You know, we have seasons, we'll be shoveling snow shortly, you know, and then it's hot in the summer. So we know that there are these measures of seasons that we experience. But I'm talking universally, existentially, there is no time and space, which is a huge leap from thinking about, oh, gee, how am I going to get through today? We understand eventually that all things are temporary here, organically. But at some other level of thought, universally, time and space exist in different densities, if you will.
Absolutely.
And so tapping into other energy frequencies, I think time works differently.
You know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, it definitely does. Time creates a reality in the universe unto itself. If you, for this, you know, experiment, time travel is possible for this thought experiment. We can go back 10 million years ago in Earth's history. We wouldn't recognize the Earth. Not really. I mean, we may eventually, but, you know, the life on the planet would be different. The continents would look different.
Mm.
Everything would be different. The stars would be different. So you could be forgiven for thinking that you might be on a different alien planet, you know, a la Planet of the Apes. But and here's another thing, is that you're absolutely right. A lot of what we experience as time is because we're on a giant mass of spinning rock that's mm-hmm. itself is moving incredibly fast around yeah. a star that itself is moving incredibly fast. And the reality is that if we could have interstellar travel and we had life on two different star systems that were any distance from one another, those two, you could have, you know, a child born on one planet travel to the other through light, you know, faster than light travel, get to that other planet, and he could grow up faster than his parents if they had stayed there, if in his version of that time, because he would be experiencing mm-hmm. it faster relative to the other person, because the planets and the stars are moving at different relative speeds, which means that time itself is kind of, the future is always there, because depending on where you are in the universe and how fast you're moving, that then becomes your moment of reality. But then your speed relative to something else makes a different, maybe 200 years in that planet's past, their reality. I'm kind of rambling at this point, but it's all very fascinating to me. But it's just,
I was following you. I completely understand, and everything being relative to those possibilities. But I then take what you've just said to the future has already occurred.
Essentially, it has. I mean, in a way. But then,
and if you want to change the frequency to change the outcome, then it's a thought and a deliberate intent. See, a deliberate intent will shift the frequency to have a different outcome in that time-space field.
And the fact is that from our tiny little perspective on this, you know, on this rock, circling a speck of light on the outskirts of our galaxy, we just don't have enough information. We don't have enough context. We don't have enough of a wider perspective to truly see it all in its total, you know, reality. So we just can't comprehend it yet. But like all things, I have hope that human intuition, human ingenuity and curiosity will bring us into a place in our future where we do understand these concepts.
Well, I find it very interesting that most often when I do a reading, I get bits of somebody's life like a movie. And whether that's from the past, in the now, or the future, it can all happen. But it's like pulling out a thread in the universal consciousness. And this is the thread line that somebody is traveling. And that's the only way I can describe what I see and how I see that. But I also see all these layers of energy that if somebody has a conscious thought, to consciously make a shift, then that timeline begins to change. So if I said to somebody a year ago, I see that this and this is coming up, but this is really easy to correct and, you know, do this, this, and this for later, because that's what they come to me for. But I talk to them a year later and I can tune in right away and say, oh, you didn't change that time, that frequency. So you're still, you're okay, and no disrespect, no judgment. Oh, you didn't go ahead and change that health thing and go do this, this, and this. And they look at me and say, no, I didn't. Oh, okay. Because I can pick up right away just by the frequencies, but it translates to my visual. And then I find the words to describe it. And I always find that fascinating how it's these measures of time and time-space where I go when doing a reading and tapping into somebody psychically. And again, the only way I can describe it is like little threads, like watching a movie. But I don't get the whole movie. I get snips of it because life's in layers. Yeah. And there's only so much time to sit down with somebody. But I also see so many options. So nothing being absolute, except that somebody absolutely make their own choices with that information. So I think that life, and again, our reality of what that is, conscious, unconscious, our subconscious information, how we apply ourselves to time, and how big our realities are, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what I heard is that, you know, about trying to have deliberate intent with what we allow into our reality.
Mm.
In a way.
Well, we can't stop everything because we're coexisting on the planet and navigating ourselves through everything.
Doing our best to, anyway.
I know. But it's a fascinating topic. But
it is.
I very often, when I work with people, every now and again I get this feeling to ask them, sit down, I'd like you to look at where you were a week ago. Where were you 2 months ago? And I want you to just take a quick little inventory. And I call that the emotional catch-up. So that somebody aligns, you know, in all their present actions, but you don't leave parts of yourself behind, so that we can align into the here now. So that's just a little something for people to think about, that there's always going to be things that we don't intellectually get because we haven't paid attention to it. You're going to remember it in a different way. That happens. That changes you emotionally. But to take that moment to have those memories in a different way, because it does change your reality, your view of the here now, where you are and where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that little inventory now and again. What have I done over the last while? How have I been working on myself? What kind of human being am I? In what I want to be? And that's how we grow. But we have to check in, and those are our fundamental marks of time, I think. So, yeah.
And since we're talking about time, I have to touch on one of my favorite, you know, theories when it comes to reincarnation, and that is that if reincarnation is a reality that we experience, why is it not possible that we could reincarnate backward in time from this perspective, or forward? Further
science fiction writers say we do.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. I mean, to live in this era, in the modern, you know, in the 21st century CE, and to reincarnate back into a life 10,000 years ago. What a trip.
Well, I think some people might say at some level of consciousness that you merely even think and imagine it is going back in that measure of time. If you're having the experience, who's to say when that is?
Right.
Except we're in a collective consciousness in this here now. So it's fascinating. It's a great discussion.
And
so I guess this is the time when we can say to everybody, if you would like a card, please put your name in the chat room.
Absolutely.
We do have a tendency to have quite the talks.
And
I like it.
Let's see.
I love it.
it is about that time, and I'm also sorry for this one, too. We just don't have the time to continue this topic of time.
There you go.
All right, I got it all out of my system, and now we can pull some cards.
Well, Michael, Audra is first, so would you like to choose a card for Audra?
All right. Doing a little shuffling, and we're going from the middle. And Audra, we have number 44, Attitude and Disposition. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding something or someone in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
I like that card. I do. Well, Dr. Jeff, I selected a card for you, wild card number 9, and it's blank. I think you got that one before. We drew it not too long ago.
Yeah,
but this is what it says. I appreciate the message here a lot, actually. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It's what you need it to be. It's all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within. Ah, we say that's another moment of self-creation. Ooh, it gives me chills. I like that. And thank you to Dr. Angie reminding us that it's already tomorrow in Australia. So those measures of time, right? Interesting. So anyway, Jeff, that's for you. I always find that card really profound. So Wendy is next. Michael, I think.
And for Wendy, I pulled number 18, Evolution. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered. That's a great talk or card for our talk tonight.
Yes, it is. It is. I like it.
I mean, touches on evolution, going through time and entropy, all intertwined.
Dr. Darlene, you are up next with number 34, Take and Release Ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what's earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what's yours and releasing the rest. Now, I'm going to say that we all need a little bit reminding of that at times, but even if this isn't something that you can relate to, maybe it's someone in your life that you can look at them from a different perspective and saying, maybe they're learning that also. So, you know, there's always different sides to these messages. Dr. Shirley's up next, Michael.
And for Dr. Shirley, I picked number 4, Past, Present, Future. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are: 1. You are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2. Don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3. Don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Nice.
I couldn't have picked that one better if I wanted to for tonight's topic.
Well, for Sally, I have number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions. So again, not just for your own self, it could very well be about understanding somebody else. So again, seeing it from all different sides is the juxtaposition, right? So I like that. I really appreciate when it says wisdom is the successful application of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Insight is discernment. You know, it's that really pulls that apart to say, oh, okay, yeah, it's a profound little message there. Anybody else that you can see in our chat, Michael, as our time?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so. I was just looking through.
But, yeah, I don't think so either. I would just like to, if I may, rather than pulling a card, I'm just going to open the booklet. I'm going to do a little thing. Open the booklet and
see. But Dr. Hunter,
see,
that's not how we do things.
I know. I'm going to do something different. And I came up with, here's a message for everybody, and it's the first one I looked at when I opened the book, positive consciousness. Mm. So we're going to do a wrap here on positive consciousness. I like that. It's our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill toward others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude, even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they're temporary. And I love that because everything, a reminder, everything is temporary. We live in an organic experience where all life here, again, in our discussion of time, you know, in our reality, this is temporary.
Absolutely.
You know, something that I reminded my kids of all the time, I try to share it, is when you ever feel a little challenged, a little lost, remember your spirit having a human experience, and everything that you're going through now is temporary. You'll find a way through. You'll find some creative option for anything that you're facing and try to get the fullness of the experience. So.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that everything is temporary, that time is constantly moving, reminds us that in those best of moments, in those most heartwarming of moments, and surrounded by friends and family and joy and cheer, we're going to hold on to those moments, appreciate it in the moment, take time to reflect on it and appreciate it and hold on to it and form a memory and hold on to that. And when times are difficult and times are tough and things are hurting and everything seems against you, it's going to get better. Time will move on and this too shall pass.
Oh, my grandma used to say that all the time, Michael. This too shall pass.
Both my grandparents did, my grandmother, especially my grandfather.
Oh, yeah. Well, we came from not too long ago, everybody, grandparents and great-grandparents that had a very different reality than we did. And
very
yet,
so.
If you think about it, that's less than 100 years ago, 80 years ago, 50 years ago.
Oh. Think about this, the fact that the population's more than tripled in the last 100 years, it's an entirely different world that we live in now.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Just on every level, but it's a world of wonders and it's a world of challenges, and you know, success isn't written in stone. We have to choose it and we have to make it happen. And I think that we will, and I have faith in us as a race and as people, as the human race, that we will.
Great way to end the program, Michael. I've had a really exciting time talking to you again. And thanks to everybody in the chat room. Mm-hmm. What a lot of discussion going on. Thank you, everybody, for that. And, you know, we'll talk next week.
Absolutely.
Oh, and wait a minute. We have a guest next week. See, I was leading into that, Michael.
We do. And next week, Dr. Kelly is going to be returning, and we're going to have a topic that we're going to announce. We're going to announce him prior to next week. We're still mulling a few things over. But we're going to have him on the broadcast again, and we're going to kind of talk about how things are going to be going forward.
Awesome.
I didn't use that word too much in a row. But it's been a great talk tonight. It's one of my favorite things to discuss and to really dig into. And as always, Dr. Hunter, I appreciate your excellent insight and the excellent conversation.
I appreciate you too, Michael.
And of course, to everybody joining us, thank you for being here, especially those in the live chat, because it does add something to it. And we also miss you when you're gone, because we were just thinking to ourselves prior to the broadcast, one of our members and friends, Fran, we haven't seen her in a little bit, and some of our folks in the chat were also remarking on that, so we hope she's well, and we hope to see her again, but we hope all of you will join us next week too, and until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Thank you, everyone.
Good night, everyone.